There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Good to have you. We are broadcasting live from Barasta, where the game is always on. Plenty to look forward to here on the grill throughout the afternoon. As I said, we're live from Barasta. Leicester against Liverpool. First up, that's off in, just under half an hour's time. It's live down here on the big screen at Barasta. We'll let you know of all the developments in that particular game as it happens. Chelsea-Bournemouth is our live game from 6 o'clock when we go off air and hand over to the TalkSport team. So we will have updates on team news for all of those and all the other 6 o'clock kickoffs a little later on in proceedings. Newcastle-Man City is your late game as the rampant Man City take on the ultra-defensive Newcastle a little later in proceedings. That one's live from 8.30 this evening right here on Dubai I103.8. Football fans well catered for, as are all other sports fans. Rugby fans will be wallowing in the fact that the rugby, club rugby that is back in the UK. Gloucester take on Saints at 5 p.m. this afternoon. There was a game last night which we'll bring you up to date with. We'll have the latest from Southampton, where England have opened a slender lead against India in the Test match, but they have lost wickets as well. Enthralling Test match. We'll give you all the latest and developments on that one. Middle weekend of the US Open. There's golf over in the United States and in Europe. Italian Grand Prix pole qualifying will take place before we go off air. We've got all the latest from the Asian Games and, of course, your US sport wrap, amongst others. Live guests and much, much more. So if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, text us now on 4001. Equally, you can keep up to date with any of the grill panelists' individual handles or at Dubai Eye Sport if you're on Twitter or social media throughout the proceedings. Best thing, though, is probably get yourself down here to Barasta and join like-minded sports fans as we tune in to an afternoon of sport right here on The Grill.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasta, with more sport, the latest headlines and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Right, we are 4001. If you are texting us, equally, you can have your say at Dubai Eye Sport, or why not get yourself down here to Barasta and join the conversation. The conversationists this afternoon and the grill panellists. It's great to welcome Ross Chris back to the fore. Looking forward to this one, Christo.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a great show. Next 3 hours here down at Barasta Beach. Weather's starting to get a little bit cooler, so if you want to come on down and hop in the pool or head on down to the beach, come up, give us a high five here on the middle deck. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. It's been a wonderful week for me, Tom. A lot of sport going on back home. Baseball, the playoff push is in full effect for those baseball fans out there. Elsewhere, Thursday, it's the start to the NFL season. Can you believe it? It seemed just like last week we were talking about the Super Bowl champions, but now we have a brand new season upon us. Thursday night, it all gets underway. We're 1 week away from UFC 228. It's the U.S. Open. We have the golf in Boston. And one of the things that I think you guys are a little bit spoiled, you two, because you guys are from the U.K., you generally get more athletes from the UK out here. This used to be part of the UK up until 1970, right? So you get the rugby stars, you get the cricket stars, you get the football stars. This week we had an NBA star out in Dubai, so it was great to pick his brain, chill with Mason Plumlee at his camp a little bit. So we'll be hearing from the big man himself from the Denver Nuggets a little bit later in the show.
Good stuff. Now, this time last week, I asked you about your sporting highlight of the summer, your personal sporting highlight. That was
going to see the Pittsburgh Pirates at my
baseball
stadium.
Exactly that. So that was Christo giving us his thoughts there. We've got Christo on that side. We've got Chris on this side as well. Chris McCarty is back from his summer vacays. He is alongside us as well. Good to see you, my friend.
Very good afternoon, Tom. Very good afternoon to our listeners as well. And it is nice to be back on the grill panel. Always enjoy the 3 hours. And looking forward to some footballing action. I'll be keeping my eye on the early kickoff over at the King Power Stadium. It is Leicester City taking on high-flying Liverpool. And there's an awful lot in the world of football to discuss over the course of the next 3 hours.
So I want to pose that same question we posed to the boys last weekend. The sporting highlight for you over the weekend, because you're not shy of visiting a few sporting venues, are you, during your breaks?
I've been away an awful lot. I've been over to the World Cup. I think that would be my highlight of the summer over the course of the past couple of months. Undoubtedly been over in Kazan for the Belgium-Brazil quarter-final match, I think it was. And I was back home in the UK, popped on to a few locations, went to Old Trafford to see an awful Manchester United team scrape a fluky 2-1 win over Leicester City. I know we'll discuss Manchester United in a lot of detail between now and 6 o'clock, because Jose Mourinho, he's a dead man walking.
But come on, Angle, we had Sean O'Shea on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he was documenting some of your football viewing habits whilst over in the UK. So let's put this one in context. So you went on the Friday night to Man U.
Went on the Friday, Old
Trafford. Where were you on the Saturday, our kid?
What's it called? The stadium, Kirk Lees Stadium, former John Smith, former Gull Farm. It is Huddersfield Town's home stadium to watch Huddersfield against Chelsea. They are a Premier League club, or Huddersfield, and again, I'm sure Shawnee will be listening. Sorry for saying this, Shawnee. Awful infrastructure at that football club. We were outside a window waiting for tickets for over 45 minutes, and I'm a stickler for missing any action. We missed the first 2 minutes of the game because of queuing up to pick up our tickets. So, Shawnee, if you're listening, have some words with Huddersfield.
So, did you get that contrast though? Because obviously, you'd had the Theatre of Dreams the night before over at Old Trafford, and then down to Huddersfield, newly promoted to the Premier League.
Jumped on a train and made the 25-minute journey up to Huddersfield. Massive contrast. I mean, Huddersfield still very much retains that family feel to the club. They are a Premier League club, of course. They've done marvellous stuff. David Wagner, the coach, getting that football club into the Premier League was an absolute, you know, an unbelievable achievement. But it retains that feel of, dare I say, a kind of small club mentality. And then on the Sunday we went down to Anfield and watched Liverpool against West Ham. And what I will say, and I know I've been jumping on the Liverpool bandwagon in recent months, they are getting it right off the field, F&B wise, in Anfield. The way that they're structured, of course, there is John W. Henry, the man that owns the Boston Red Sox. What I can say is they've taken a lot of what they've learnt from an American standpoint in F&B, and they've implemented that at Anfield. You don't queue for much more than 2-3 minutes to get your beverage, to get your food. There was a busker in the corner as well of the stadium, so there was entertainment provided. A world away from Huddersfield, certainly. And I've got to be honest, Manchester United could do with taking a little visit to their arch rivals as well and looking at what they're doing from an F&B standpoint, because they're doing some wonderful things.
That would have come as some comfort to the West Ham fans that have made the journey up there as well, because they didn't get much entertainment in that game, did they?
They were vocal, Tom. I've got to say this, that the West Ham travelling support were vocal for all of about 5 minutes, and then it was eerie silence for the other 85 minutes, because I tell you, man, I know you're a Hammers fan, a West Ham fan, you could be in for a long, hard season. If, from what we saw, and Liverpool were excellent, but West Ham in that middle of the park, Wilshire, Noble, no legs in there, and if that's going to be your central midfield partnership for the rest of the season, oi oi oi, you could end up in another relegation scrap.
Well, it remains to be seen who Pellegrini selects for West Ham later on this afternoon, because it's been something of a moving piece over the last three games, that's for sure. I mean, it's interesting though, isn't it, because we were having this conversation, all three of us, pre-season, about the business that West Ham had done and the face they brought in, they'd broken the bank, you know, they brought in some big names. There was a huge amount of optimism. But a question I posed to Ross and who did we have on last week? It was you and me and
Roberto,
wasn't it? Yeah. And the question I posed to them is what's the point of pre-season? Because they had a great pre-season. There was all sorts of promotion going on. They seemed to perform well and things like that. And then you get to the first three games of the season, you still not got a clue.
Yeah, they look out, I guess, not out of their depth. It will take time to bed them in. But yeah, the real action has got underway now. And undoubtedly, West Ham will take time. They've brought in a raft. How many was it? 9 players in total, I think it was, in the off-season, so it will always take time, but then you have to be cautious as well. We saw what Everton did last summer. They brought in a raft of players and it didn't work out. Very quickly they were on the back foot, and there was expectation at that football club that they could go on and, who knows, perhaps, you know, bully their way into a top four spot. So West Ham will take time. I am still a huge fan of Manuel Pellegrini. You know, his record backs are up. However, they've brought in a lot of players. It's a new style of play. It will take time.
And it's interesting you mentioned those two in the midfield, and you've been able to see them as well. They haven't played that partnership since then. Noble was unavailable last time.
Yeah.
But I think they've come to that realisation very quickly that Noble and Wilshere can't be on the same field at the same time.
And Declan Rice was the other young boy who, a little unfair on Declan, normally a centre-half, he was brought in, and he actually played in the centre of the park with Noble, with Wilshere in the number 10 position. He made a change, did Pellegrini. I think it was Snodgrass he brought on in the second half. Declan Rice went off, and he moved Wilshere back alongside Noble. And it was painfully obvious. It was painful to watch at times. Wilshere, not the player he once was. And again, I won't go into why I think he is one of the most overrated players of his generation. But him and Noble, they just couldn't lay a glove on Keita, who was very good. James Milner, the best player on the park that day. And then, of course, Georgie Wijnaldum. So Liverpool, though, they will be contending for titles. West Ham won't. But of course, since that 4-0 defeat, as you rightly point out, they've lost another two league matches already this season. So West Ham, they're at home to Wolves today. They need a performance. More than that, though, they need 3 points come the end of the 90th.
Listen to Tom Rennie on the drive-in doing their show, their build-up to the Premier League. I think they're the only team in the professional league in the four divisions, yes, of a football league without a point to their name at the moment.
Yeah, and that's and given the fact that Tom Rennie is a hammer as well, I'm sure he was. Yeah, that would have been an interesting listen a little earlier this afternoon. And because for West Ham fans, Tom, you don't want another season where you're going through the mill. You thought, and again, I thought that West Ham this season, and again, we're only three games in, of course, they could kick on, but I was expecting big things from West Ham this season.
I suppose the problem is for West Ham fans is that, yeah, okay, we can forgive them away at Liverpool first game. Away at Arsenal's always going to be tough as well, and you had a bit of bad luck, and they played better in that last game against Arsenal. They were a little unfortunate with the Issa Diop goal, didn't really know much about it, but when you look at the fixture list, it was that loss against Bournemouth at home to go in front and then concede two and lose that game at home. When you look at our fixture list now, because obviously we've got a game that we should win today, but Wolves have been playing some nice football so far this season. We know what they're going to do. They're going to come and have a go at that's for
Absolutely.
Sure. But then when you look at what's coming up next, Manchester United, Tottenham, Chelsea, all in the next few weeks.
And then all of a sudden the season gets away from you. That's the beauty or the danger of it. If you start bad and the results keep coming bad, by the time you get to October, you're in a rut already. And you know the way that the media works, speculation will mount on Manuel Pellegrini's future, and again, West Ham will go into a state of flux. So in the case of the two, David Sullivan and Gold, the owners of the football club, let's just hope they're patient with Pellegrini, because as I say, he's a fine manager. It will take time to bed in all the names, all the new faces. If given that time, if afforded that, I've got no doubt West Ham will have a decent enough season. But what constitutes decent season? You're a West Ham fan. What is it? A top 10?
Survival? Not getting relegated?
A cup win?
You have Wolverhampton today at 6 o'clock. My friend from back home is a big Wolves fan, and he texted me because he's watching the games on a serious delay, and he goes, "Did we really tie Man City last week?" And I said, "Yeah, you scored on an offsides handball, but if you want to call that a win, we'll call that a big tie for you
guys."
They hit the bar four times.
Yeah,
it could severely outplay, but this is an intriguing team here, Chris. I mean, coming in, tying a tie's a tie. You take it against the champions of last year. They attacked the whole entire game. Are they going to be someone you can look at this season?
Yeah, look out for Wolves. They spent big money to get back into the Premier League. Nuno Santos has done a great job, the former
Still
Valencia
not won,
boss.
Though. Still not won.
Well, no, they haven't. And again, they would have been frustrated in that opening weekend, that 2-2 draw with Everton, because Everton went down to 10 men, of course, and Wolves failing in that second half to really ram home the advantage. But, you know, 2 points, two decent results. Certainly the one against Manchester City, yes, they rode their luck, but they'll take heart from that. But again, a little bit of expectation on them today, because they go to a struggling West Ham. And if the message is, let's go after West Ham, let's put them under pressure, because the pressure undoubtedly will be on the home team, then Wolves couldn't very much add to the woes of Manuel Pellegrini and pick up their first win of the season. But over the 38-game season, they will have to override some tricky results, will Wolves. No doubt about that. They will have some sticky spells, but I do expect them over the course of a 38-game season to have too much, and
good
I think
watch,
they will
though.
Stay up.
Oh,
really
they were so
to
fun to watch. They attacked the whole entire game. You would have thought that coming against the champions, they'd, you know, park the bus, if you will. But then that first 20 minutes was so exciting.
Yeah, they're gonna hit on the counter.
They'll
time,
entertain.
Aren't they?
That's what they'll do. They've got João Moutinho, Ruben Neves in the centre of the park. Two Portuguese internationals. They've got Helder Costa on wing, one wing, Diogo Jota on the other, and then Raúl Jiménez is joined from Benfica, the Mexican international. So Wolves are, they will roll over some teams this season, and the big guns, they'll look to bloody the noses of those as well over the course of the season.
And they've got a good enigmatic manager
as
well.
Yes, Nuno Santos. It's not often.
Like, pulled him out of a cave in like South America.
He is. See,
that is one heck of a look that gentleman has on the sidelines, isn't it?
He is harsh, to say the least. And it is interesting. He's flying the flag for the goalkeeping union. You don't often see goalkeepers go in to become managers. He is a former goalkeeper, and he did a great job at Rio Ave over in Portugal. Ian Cathro, a Scot who he met in his when they were coaching together, a young Scot by the name of Ian Cathro, I think it was 27 years of age at the time. He brought him over as first team coach, took him to Valencia with him, and then of course Ian Cathro went on to Newcastle, had a brief spell in charge of Hearts as well. So Nuno Santos very much at the forefront. He's got expansive ideas, he likes his teams to play attacking football, and as you say, boys, there will be a joy to watch over the course of the season.
Well, it is great to have you back, Chris McCarthy. He's taken in a few stadiums on his summer break as well, which is a good question. Let's throw that out to the panel and also to you as well. A nice way to kickstart things. things. Of all the best sports arenas and stadiums that you have visited, what has been the best? Not just in terms of atmosphere, but as Chris was saying, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of logistics, in terms of your overall experience. What has been the best sports stadium, bar none, that you have visited during your sporting careers, both as player or, of course, as a spectator and fan? For you, Roscoe?
As a fan, and just being in kind of the nostalgic moment of being in a great stadium, Fenway Park on the Green Monster. I sat on the Green Monster during a game. It was magical because this is one of they only have a couple seats up there, and it's one of the best parks you can actually, places you can sit in any type of sporting event in North America. In terms of infrastructure, smart stadiums, Washington Nationals Park, you buy a card, like a plastic credit card, and you can use that throughout the stadium, and you can go refill your own beverages, get your own food type of thing. It's very high-tech. It's very 3D. It's very, I guess, smart, you know, as Dubai's trying to be for 2020. Washington Nationals Park is a lot like that.
Oh, that's a good question, Tom. I think for stadium, obviously Old Trafford for various reasons, but San Siro in Italy. The Milan Derby, I think I joined you guys on the phone that afternoon. The atmosphere generated was unlike anything I've ever had the kind of privilege to have encountered. Anfield was great the other day. You'll never walk alone.
But San Siro, something that's so steeped in history and things
that's
like
exactly
that.
It's old, it's dated.
Is it dated?
It's
is it a struggle to get around and things like that?
Yeah, it's just a little dated massively. It was built, I think, originally for the Italia 1990 World Cup, I think it was. But it's so iconic with the four corners, the big grey pillars on each corner. Fantastic in terms of atmosphere. In terms of infrastructure, Wembley takes some beating. You know, you go there and the F&B is fantastic. There's not a bad seat in the house. That would be right up there. And the other one, Friends Arena in Stockholm. They're one of the first, I think they were one of the first, that they've actually got big screens that hang from the roof so that no matter on what side of the stadium you are, you can watch replays. And that's new to football grounds. You don't often get that. You do at Friends Arena. So Stockholm, Friends Arena, Wembley in terms of the mod.
It's going to be interesting, isn't it? Because I know that there's a lot of investment going into Tottenham's new stadium. Yeah. And obviously, that's been very much in the news recently as well,
whenever
it's going to be done. But again, they're saying that's going to be the most high-tech stadium in the Premier League once it's finished as well. A number of partners come on board.
I've been to Wembley, like you were saying, Chris. Awesome. One bone I have to pick with about Wembley, outside the stadium, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's just nothing. There's no atmosphere or anything like that. It's just, you take the train and you walk there and you're there and you have to take 20 minutes and get into town to find a restaurant or some type of, you know, vibe after the game, which for an American sports fan, we need that right next to the stadium.
Yeah, you want the tailgating.
We
you want it all
right there. But
yeah, fair.
But it is a great atmosphere inside the stadium. Saw Eminem in there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. He put on a good show.
You're listening to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasta, where the game is always on. Plenty more to look forward to. Do get your thoughts coming in to us. 4001. Best stadium you've ever been to?
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
We've got Leicester against Liverpool for you coming up in just a few moments' time. We're going to get some team news from Chris McCarthy just momentarily. But let's hear from the Liverpool manager first and foremost. They have had a flawless start to the Premier League season. He, though, has been quick to point out that his players need to be ready for each and every game.
How could I sit here after the season Leicester played so far and only have a percentage of an idea that we will win there for sure? That's not possible. We only will try everything. And for that, we need to be ready for a real fight. They really have a good side. So in a situation like that, of course, then people talk after Champions League draw, so we all talk about the same clubs, and then the next match days. But they are really good football teams, and Leicester looked to me really good in these first three games.
So that is Jurgen Klopp talking about his opponents today, Leicester. Let's get some team news from both of these two teams. Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, let me start with the home side, Leicester City. And as you heard rightly there, Tom, Jurgen Klopp talking up the Foxes. They have had a good start to the campaign. They were beaten in their opener at Old Trafford against Manchester United. A little unfortunate. I thought they were very good for the majority of that match. They've bounced back. Victories over Wolves. Victory last week over Southampton. They've also got a 4-0 win over Fleetwood Town in the second round of the EFL EFL Cup. So 3 wins from 4 for Claude Puel this season, and they've got a really strong squad. You look at the bench for Leicester and you really understand what a strong team he's got. He's went in today with Kasper Schmeichel, as always, in goals. It's a back four: Ricardo Pereira, the summer recruit from FC Porto, in at right back. Wes Morgan partnering England star Harry Maguire, and then it will be Ben Chilwell in at left back. The midfield two: Nampali Mendy, the Frenchman, alongside Wilfred Ndidi. I'm a huge fan of Wilfred Ndidi. I do think he will be playing for a top club in the not too distant future. Then come the attacking three of Mark Albrighton on the right hand side, James Maddison, the summer recruit from Norwich City, wearing number 10, and then it will be the exciting, quick whiz kid himself, Damari Gray, the former Birmingham City man. They will be behind. An interesting choice this. No Jamie Vardy, he is suspended, so he's gone in with another of his summer recruits, Rashid Ghazal, the man that they signed from AS Monaco. Usually a winger. I just wonder if Ghazal's pace is something that Claude Puel is looking for. As for Liverpool, one change from the side that has won 3 from 3 thus far in the Premier League season. Alisson Becker starts in goals. It's a back four of Trent Alexander-Arnold, Joe Gomez, Virgil van Dijk and Andy Robertson. A midfield three of Jorginho, Wijnaldum, Jordan Henderson, the skipper, coming back in for Naby Keita, James Milner, who was undoubtedly the head and shoulders standout player in that opening win over West Ham. And then it's the feared front three, the triumvirate of Mohamed Salah, Roberto Firmino and a man that I think will have a big season for Liverpool, Sadio Mane. This one is going to be a belter. We're a couple of minutes away from it. It's Leicester City against Liverpool.
Fascinating when you look at that the balance of that Liverpool team at the moment. It's great on paper. We know that they're performing on the field as well, and I suppose when you've got the, you know, when you can keep players like Keita out,
that's it. I mean, that's exactly it, Tom. There was areas of the field that Jurgen Klopp knew he needed to strengthen, certainly the goalkeeper position. They did that. I'm a huge fan of Naby Keita. I think he is someone that will light up this Premier League, not only this season but in seasons to come for Liverpool Football Club. And then they've got the front three. You look at the bench, you're right to point out both benches have got real strength and depth. If I look at Liverpool's, you've got Simon Mignolet, the sub goalkeeper, of course. Loris Karius is now over at Besiktas. Then from a defensive standpoint, you've got Cameroonian international Alberto Moreno in at left back. Then you look at the midfield, you've got Adam Lallana, you've got Naby Keita, then of course you've got Daniel Sturridge, and that is not including, and Jerdan Shaqiri, that's not including another of their summer recruits, Fabinho. He can't even make the squad, and he cost that football club £42.5 million in the summer. You look at Leicester on the other side as well: Johnny Evans, Iheanacho, Danny Ward, Amarte, Okazaki, Ibora, Fuch. I mean, they're international players as well, and that just gives you an idea of the strength of this Premier League. They're a club like Leicester, and I appreciate they were champions a few short years ago, but look at their bench. That is a quality bench. That is as good a bench as you will get in the Premier League this weekend.
Tommy, earlier this week, Jamie Vardy retired from international football. Chris, you mentioned that he's going to be out, I think, because of a red card.
Yeah.
You're going to be sad to see him go off the England squad?
It's an interesting decision. It was a pointless story, really, because he didn't actually retire. He chose his words very carefully. He said that he was going to stand aside to let the youngsters come through.
32 years old,
so yeah, he's probably gone down the pecking order a bit. He's never going to be sort of first choice to start bringing at the moment with the strength and depth that they've got. But I just thought it was a weird decision. He didn't come out and say, right, I'm retiring from international football, so he kept the door open. But then it does prompt the question of who are the youngsters coming through at the moment?
Well, you look at the England squad that he's picked, he's largely stayed true to the squad that he took over to Russia. He's brought back in Luke Shaw. Trent Alexander-Arnold, who we're going to see today, is a young right-back who I've got so much high hopes for. I think he's an absolute future superstar, I really do. And then, yeah, I know there were one or two questions asked. Where no Ryan Sessegnon from Fulham. Jadon Sancho as well over at Borussia Dortmund was not given an opportunity. So they will come, no doubt about that. Ademola Lookman as well, who had a wonderful back end to the campaign on loan at RB Leipzig.
These are all players. It's interesting. The only reason I said, because we were debating this yesterday, actually, going, OK, all good and well, he said that, but apart from the three that he's taken for the international break that's coming up in the next couple of weeks, who else is to come through the ranks at the moment? We were thinking Tammy Abraham, but I mean, we don't really know where his future is at the moment.
He's off to Aston Villa for a season in the Championship, so is he going to get in an England squad? No.
Is he one for the future? I mean, we hear a lot about Phil Foden again. He's more midfield based, isn't he?
Young boy, he's been given an opportunity by Pep Guardiola, but he's not starting. He's not playing regularly, and it may well be for Phil Foden moving forward. And I know Manchester City, I know Pep Guardiola has huge hopes for him. He is, again, another exciting young talent. But you're right, Phil Foden, you've got San potential, no doubt about that. Borussia Dortmund, I've got huge hopes. Again, another former City youngster who turned down a new deal at City to join Borussia Dortmund. You've got Ryan Sessegnon, who's had a quiet start to life in the Premier League, but there are youngsters there. But I take the point, Tom, from Gareth Southgate, he's got to just pick the time to blood those youngsters. And right now, he stayed true. Your Joe Gomez is back in. He's a young boy who's had a wonderful start to the season with Liverpool. He's also got Luke Shaw in, who's still only 23 years of age. Yeah. So there is youth throughout the squad, but in terms of a revolution in England, that isn't quite coming. I think the key word for Gareth Southgate is evolution, not revolution.
And obviously, every time we have this conversation, we're told to look to the Bundesliga as well, because there seems to be this growing trend, doesn't there? Those young English players going over to the Bundesliga to get more experience because they can't get starting berths at their particular club.
Exactly that. Adamola Lukman's the perfect example. Joined Everton from Charlton Athletic. Sam Allardyce didn't think much of him. Thought he could go and toughen up, quote unquote. Wanted him to go to the Championship with Derby County, I think it was. And his agent, and I have full praise for Adamola's agent and the boy himself, said, no, I'm not wanting to go to the Championship. RB Leipzig, a progressive club, a club that has given youth a chance. He went over there and he was fantastic. He was one of the standout performers in the back end of that Bundesliga season. He comes back and he can't get a game for Everton. They've turned down three bids from RB Leipzig. That deal is done, so he will be at Everton this season. And that's the shame of it, because he could have gone there. And if I was Gareth Southgate, and again, you can't meddle in players' futures, but I would be wanting more players to head abroad. They get a different understanding of the game, they get different skills, different tactical awareness. And in the case of Sancho, he has come on leaps and bounds at Borussia Dortmund, and I've no doubt had Lukman gone over, he would have been in the same boat. So for England's future moving forward, to really be competing for honours, I think the more English players can go abroad, the better.
I think it's a problem as well. We look at it, I mean, we looked at England's progress at the World Cup this year, and that obviously shone a light on English football at the moment, and there is obviously that talent that can compete at the highest level. But then when you see the sort of starting lineups for a number of the teams at the moment, Adam Lallana, I know he was out for a long injury last year, but not getting into the starting side for Liverpool this year. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, one of the standout players for England at the World Cup, can't get into his team at the moment, doesn't know what his future. This could have a negative impact about moving forward.
And that's it. Certainly in the case of Ruben Loftus-Cheek, I would have liked to have seen him gone out on loan. He was good for Crystal Palace. I say good, he started very well last season at Crystal Palace, did Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He had a decent World Cup. I think there were times when we were calling for him to get a start ahead of Dele Alli. He didn't look fit at times over there in Russia. And again, you're right, he is someone not getting an opportunity. There are far better players, or at least Maurizio Sarri is deeming better players ahead of him at Chelsea. Ross Barkley is another example. At least he has been given a start at the opening of this campaign by Sarri at Chelsea. But he's another young boy. What is he, 24, 25 years of age? So don't rule him out as well. So there are players there, but I take the point, an awful lot of players in this England squad not guaranteed starters. Another example, Daniel Sturridge. Yeah. Daniel Sturridge is now wedded and rooted on that bench. He'll become a big player, no doubt about it, over the season, but when all said and done and when everyone is fit, Daniel Sturridge has to be and has to make do with a place on that substitute bench for Liverpool.
Leicester against Liverpool has just kicked off. 2 minutes in, no goals in that one. We will take a short break. When we come back, I'll tell you what's happening in the cricket.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai iSport.
Yeah, game on indeed. Game on in the Premier League as we speak at the moment. Leicester taking on Liverpool. It is sunny in Leicester at the moment. Is the sun shining on Liverpool or Leicester? Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, 6 minutes gone at the King Power Stadium. It remains Leicester 0, Liverpool 0. Liverpool have started on the front foot, as you would expect. The confidence is high. They're at that football club. 3 wins from 3 at the start of the season, and really they should be ahead. A fantastic move. Again, they move the ball so quickly through midfield into their front three. That front three that can cause so much damage. Roberto Firmino is, who's clean through on goal. His effort is a little tame. Kasper Schmeichel manages to get his wrist down to keep the ball out. It falls to the feet of the man that all Liverpool fans would want it to fall to, Mohamed Salah. He should really go with it with his right foot, in actual fact. The goal was open for him. He goes with the left and he just drags the shot just past the near post. Kasper Schmeichel beaten all hands up, but in the end, it is a chance gone for Liverpool Football Club. They have threatened early on in this one. They should be ahead, but 6 minutes on the clock, it remains Leicester 0, Liverpool 0.
Let us turn our attention to the cricket. England taking on India in the Test match. Day 3 of the 4th Test match. It's been played down in Southampton. Fascinating game. England out for 246 in their first innings. It was India's opportunity, therefore, yesterday to build a first innings lead. And they had the conditions for it, that's for sure. Then this happened.
Welcome everyone to this of day two of this fourth Specsavers Test match down here at the AGS Bowl. We're south of England and the weather is fantastic. And Given took some time, Kumasa Damascena, but he has given him.
See what he's trying to do there, but that's beautifully timed. No one's going to stop that.
And Gott, being so disciplined, Ishika Dewan, and now he chases one.
Safely into the gloves of Josh Butler.
Driven again, we've just seen a couple of those.
Seen a few of those in the series from Virat Kohli, that is high quality.
Outside edge, it's in the air, it's gone down to third man. 6,000 test match runs.
Cut away nicely for four.
Went over the top.
Not exactly what he wanted to do with it, but flash hard.
Just a push, but so well timed.
Width and driven imperiously through the covers by Pujara for four, 139 for two. And he's gone, just carries through to Alistair Cook, a good low catch, a big wicket for young Sam Curran. What a game he's having.
And a good catch, low down. He's enjoying this cricket, Sam Curran.
Oh, there is the edge.
Stokes has moved that one away and Root has put it down at second slip.
Oh, big in-swinger.
Big in-swinger, Given. Beautiful from Stokes. Outswing, and then the big boomerang coming in.
Oh, it's hit him on the head. Umpires will check that Pujara is okay. He was bounced out first innings Trent Bridge. Ben Stokes will check that he's okay.
Lovely shot from Pujara. Got into the perfect position.
Given in.
Change of bowling has worked. It was a difficult stay for Rishabh Pant. 29 balls without scoring.
Cut.
In the air. And yes, Root is in the game. Straight to him. That is exceptional.
Good catch from the England captain. Good field setting as well.
Yeah. Oh, yes. What a way to go there. Reverse sweep, toe end of the bat, onto the stumps. Ali has three.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I reckon that's clipped top of off. Surely it has. Moeen Ali's on a hat-trick.
Done for length, done for line. Takes off stump.
Short and wide, and it's a good shot. Just dabbed down to third man, should go all the way. Runs are vital. India trail by 26.
And gone. It's a good bit of cricket from Alistair Cook at short leg, who knocks it up and takes the rebound. And of course, gives Moeen Ali five wickets on his return to the team.
Gets enough of it. Anderson is in hot pursuit, but he's not going to stop it. Pujara is through to his first Test 100 in England. That has been a mighty effort.
Has he beat a mid-off? Just gets enough of it. Rashid gave it just enough air to tempt him. Just a half volley.
Bit of damage to England, is this?
Gone. Didn't have to go around the wicket.
And India lead by 27 on first innings.
And he has survived. What a relief, he'll be saying to himself. So all in all, a good day's cricket.
First goal of the afternoon, Leicester against Liverpool. Chris McCarty.
12 minutes on the clock. It is Leicester City 0, Liverpool 1. It's not Mo Salah, it is Sadio Mane. I've had a feeling since the season, pre-season that is, watching Liverpool, that Sadio Mane, I said it a little earlier, would have a big season. I've got just a feeling that he could do something that Mo Salah did last season and really carry this Liverpool team. It's he that has got the opening goal. A little bit of fortune involved in it. It is Andy Robertson. We were talking off air. What an incredible player he has become for Liverpool Football Club, from where he's come from as well, third division in Scottish football, now the first choice left back at a club the size of Liverpool. It's his raiding move down the left hand side, gets a little lucky, he crosses in. Harry Maguire, though, for me, not strong enough, should really clear it. The ball ricochets to Sadio Mane, and then just with a little toe poke, a left footed toe poke, as quick as a flash, past Kasper Schmeichel before he could get set. That is good enough to give Liverpool the lead. 13 minutes on the clock then, Leicester 0, Liverpool 1, if they are to see this one out, and I appreciate there is a long time to go. It will be 4 games, 4 victories for Liverpool, and they will, and I repeat, this is my opinion, but I do feel they will run Manchester City very close indeed for the title this season. It's Leicester 0, Liverpool 1.
So England 246 in their first innings, as you just heard there. India bowled out for 273. In their second innings, would have been a lot worse had it not been for a Pujara. Lovely century from him. He finished unbeaten. So England looking to build a lead, a second innings lead today. They're able to do that now. They have taken that lead of 44 runs, but they have lost 2 wickets. Alistair Cook, his appalling series continued a little earlier on. Looks completely out of sorts with the bat. So it'll be interesting to see what decisions he comes to at the end of this particular series. But Cook was the first to go, and then Moeen Ali, who was promoted up the order, he was promoted to number 3. It didn't last long as well, just 7 for him before he had to depart. Strange one as well, Moeen Ali, the pick of the batsman in the first innings. I know they've got a problem at 3 at the moment because Joe Root doesn't like batting number 3. Johnny Bairstow, obviously, with that fractured finger as well, coming in at 4. So the potential to balance, to try and balance it out. But no, he's just been brought back into the team. He bats well down at 7 in the first innings, and then gets this promotion.
Yeah, I don't get that. I can I can understand the thinking. He's coming off the back of a decent 40 in the first innings, Tom. He's on a high momentum. He's taken a fiver in that first innings for India. So I can see what the thinking is. Let's get Moeen Ali back out there and ride the crest of a wave. But I mean, it's one of those decisions that in hindsight now it looks a bit silly, because of course he's gone cheaply. Joe Root is now in, and Moeen Ali, what was he gone? Gone for 9 he was. So yeah, it looks a bit stupid now, and I'm kind of with you. Why change it? And I appreciate England didn't exactly set the world alight with their 246 in their first innings, Tom, but Moeen Ali was one of those that did well. So as opposed to changing him, just make your top order batsmen perform better, or at least ask them to maybe perform a little better than shifting Moeen Ali around. He seemed comfortable at number 7, so they've been made to pay for that when they're currently 71 for 2, as you say, a lead of 44. This is going to be a nail biter. What are we, day? Is day 3?
Day 3, yeah.
Yeah, day 3. So we'll we're looking forward to what transpires over the course of the next few hours.
One man who doesn't mind it is Jeffrey Boycott. He says that he's just tweeted that he likes Root at 4. Just looks better, says Jeffrey. He may get out now. He goes on to say he's gone to 3 because the problem's there, but he's on record said that he prefers 4. So let's hope that that suits Joe Root. He's currently at the crease with Keaton Jennings.
Well, you watch a lot of cricket, much more cricket than I do, Tom. Obviously, you are a keen proponent of England. What is the answer to that top 3? Because Alistair Cook, as you rightly point out, is on his last legs, as good as he was. Keaton Jennings, who knows? He could go on and make 100 here. And I guess put the Wolves to bay for a day or two, or at least a week or two. Moeen Ali at 3, not for me. So who is there? What is the answer?
It's a real problem. It's a problem that they're trying to face at the moment, because there's just not much coming through the county championship at the moment. And all those that have been tried aren't given enough time to sort of bed in. So I mean, how often have we seen this opening part for Alistair Cook at the moment? We've obviously got Hamid up at Lancashire, but last couple of years he was seemed to be the natural next step, but then he got that broken finger over in India, and he's never really sort of recovered from that. Certainly his form has dipped. And then
Stoneman.
Stoneman was given a couple of chances, hasn't he?
Vince.
And Vince is more likely to sort of bat further down the line. But again, they're just given a couple. Ollie Pope in the last Test match as well. We've seen Adam Lythe up in Yorkshire as well.
Balance.
Gary Balance. You know, there are so many that are given an opportunity, but don't do themselves any favours, and they don't really make it their own. Rory Burns down at Surrey, there's been a bit of chat about him as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that, because obviously they've got a problem at two. Keaton Jennings been given his second opportunity. He's had an appalling series thus far. The way he got dismissed in that first innings was comical, to say the least. So he needs to redeem himself here. But for how long? For the selectors take their size to them again. So we're going to watch him with interest there. I think the big problem is going to be Alistair Root, because if Rooty can't find his form, I mean, he's there at a reputation at the moment. You can't leave him out, but if you look at the runs he's scored in this series, he's been found wanting, and he is a bit of a bunny for the Indian spinners. So if he decides to hang up his boots at the end of this series or take a break or whatever, then you've got a problem, because you've got a double-headed problem.
Yeah, you need 1-2 and still that hunt to find a long-term 3, if of course Joe Root is feeling that that he is better at number 4, and he's the skipper. And you know, I've always been a firm believer in build your team around your better players, and if Joe Root is comfortable at 4, then try and build that team around him at number 4. But of course, right now, because they don't have an actual number 3, he's moving up that order.
You're listening to Dubai 103.8. We take a short break. When we come back, should we do some US sport after that, Ross Crisco?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
Oh, we've got live sport for you down here at Barasti. You're listening to The Grill. We're live with you through till 6 o'clock. Leicester against Liverpool. Chris McCarty.
21 minutes gone midway through this opening half, and it's been a very good one if you are a Liverpool Football Club fan, because your team leads by a goal to nil. They're zipping the ball about with real purpose. Our Liverpool, Jordan Henderson, the fulcrum of it, brought back into the starting 11 by Jurgen Klopp this afternoon in front of Naby Keita. He is just pulling the strings in there alongside James Milner and Wijnaldum. And then the front three, the movement of them, as we see Trent Alexander-Arnold get down that right-hand side. But Harry Maguire just saving that one from going out for a corner. But Andy Robertson on one flank, Trent Alexander on the other side. They've just been excellent. They've pinned Leicester back. It is Sadio Mane that has scored the only goal of the game. A real striker's goal in that regard. The ball just fell to him. He had just a quick second to think, and then with that little toe poke of his left foot, he just moved the ball through the gears, past Kasper Schmeichel, into the back of the net. Liverpool have been good value for this lead. 22 minutes on the clock. It's Leicester 0, Liverpool 1.
Let's go to the cricket for you, where we see England extend their lead against India. They now lead India by 50 runs with 8 wickets remaining. 81 for 2. Jennings and Root, the two men at the crease, about 10 minutes to go before lunch. So they want to maintain that lead until the lunch break as well. Let's talk to the United States now, because Ross Crist is with us here with his US sports wrap.
That's exactly right, Tom. Can you boys believe it? Football is back. American football, it kicks off. If you're an NFL fan, it kicks off Thursday night local time around 8 o'clock Eastern time. So it'll be around Friday morning here if you want to catch the early kickoff of the first NFL game of the season. Also, college football is back, and college football has already gotten underway. Ton of big matchups in week one. Wisconsin beating Western Kentucky 34-3. If you're a big Badgers fan, good start for you. You're number 4 ranked this year, coming in at 1-0, going atop the Hilltoppers. Alex Hornback went 17 for 29 with 257 yards and 2 scores of this game. But this whole entire college football season will be exciting.
It's a season to fight.
Give nothing and take everything.
I will. I will.
Life is a test that every day we are forced to answer to and for something that is necessary for our survival.
We got 30 minutes.
Let's go.
For the rest of our lives.
This game is no different. A 17-week capsule of how to survive a season of life.
Make sure you're preparing today to go win a championship.
Mental exams, physical quizzes, polls, assessments. All about finding the proficiency of not just knowledge, but of determination, drive, consistency, and the insane ability to bring your A game every week.
Touchdown! Alabama wins!
Because B's and C's can turn into F's if you let them. One failing grade can be held against you the entire semester. A grading curve steep and unforgiving.
What was he thinking?
Oh my goodness.
All the band is out on the field!
A test is an event. A test of time. A test of wills. A testament of hope, faith, belief, brotherhood, sacrifice, and family. A perseverance that all leads to a statement of greatness. Crowned by what a champion looks like once the final exam is turned in.
Every day, we got a game grind. There are no days off.
Every day you have to gain ground. Every Saturday you have to gain ground for college, the college football season. Week one underway. Some juicy, juicy matchups here. Number 17, West Virginia Mountaineers going to Tennessee to the Bank of America Stadium. They will be going against the Tennessee Volunteers team that is looking to win this season. They have a nice young starting quarterback there for the Volunteers. UNLV Las Vegas going against a 15-ranked USC. They're starting a true freshman. An 18-year-old takes over at Sam Darnold for quarterback. It'll be nice to see what this 18-year-old can do for the Southern California Trojans. Elsewhere, Boise State, they're ranked 22. They're going to be going against Troy. The juiciest matchup of week one will be 3:30 local time. It'll be number 14, Michigan, coached by Harbaugh, going against Brian Kelly, number 12, Notre Dame. This is a rivalry that's been going back for ages. It's been dormant for the last 4 years. These two head coaches came together and decided, let's kick it back off. This will be in South Bend, Indiana. You can still get a ticket if you fly to South Bend for $441 on Pick Center. So, Tom, get on the next flight out there. You could. And then we also have Louisville versus Alabama. You talk about college football, you talk about Alabama. Nick Saban, year after year, produces winners. He has the number one ranked team coming into this season, but he has two quarterbacks in the backfield. Who will we start? He says he's going to play both of them.
Nick, you know it's coming. It's the night of the game. What's the plan for the quarterbacks?
Well, I think we have two guys that are weapons, and they both played well. So, the plan is to play both guys in the game. So the only issue is who plays first, and, we'll decide that when the time comes.
Is it a hot hand kind of situation once the game begins unfolding?
Well, I really don't want either one of the guys to go out there and play and look over their shoulder and worry about the next guy. So it'll be really just you're going to play this much, and then the next guy's going to play, and we'll kind of go from there.
On defense, a lot of new faces, three new assistant coaches. Louisville has a new quarterback, but a lot of dangerous weapons. What's your biggest concern tonight on that side of the ball?
Well, it's our ability to execute. Not only do you have new faces, you have new leadership, you have new signal callers. People have to communicate and play together, especially when you play a team like Louisville, who does a lot of formations, a lot of motions, and makes you adjust, and Bobby does a good job of that. So I think that's the biggest concern. Can we go out there and execute and not make a bunch of mental errors?
That's Alabama head coach Nick Saban, who swallowed a couple sleeping pills before that interview, apparently, because he just sounded like he rolled out of bed. But he has the number one ranked team in the Crimson Tide going against Louisville. This game will be played at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. Some other intriguing matchups in the week one college football season, the number 24 Oregon Ducks going against Bowling Green from the MAC Conference. And some final scores that already happened on Friday, 21 UCF University of Central Florida pounded UConn 56-17. Keep in mind, this UCF team coached last year by Scott Frost, who's now at Nebraska, went undefeated last season. So they're still on this winning streak. Number 8, Miami versus number 25, LSU. That'll be on Monday morning. And number 20, Virginia Tech going against number 19, Florida State, an ACC matchup in week one. If you are a college football fan, that will be a very, very intriguing matchup. Let's move over to Sundays, because NFL is almost here. Gentlemen, Thursday, September 6th, the Atlanta Falcons take on the Philadelphia Eagles. If you want to get up for this game, it'll be actually Friday morning, I believe, here around 4:20 local time. That'll be at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Philadelphia Eagles, a lot of questions surrounding the quarterback position. Who's going to be starting? Is it going to be Carson Wentz? Is it going to be Nick Foles? It's a good problem to have, wouldn't it be, Chris McCarty?
Who will they go with there? I was discussing this one with a friend yesterday, Ross. Nick Foles is obviously the hero of their Super Bowl success over the New England Patriots. Carson Wentz, though, when he was in, was the best quarterback in all of football last season before that serious knee injury. What is the state of affairs? Will he start or will it be Nick Foles?
I think you're going to have to go with Nick Foles. You have to take the Super Bowl MVP. You have to go with the hot hand. even right now, if Carson Wentz is ready to play week one, which I actually don't think he is. Doug Peterson got a little chippy with the media. He's very nice in his interviews, but this past week he got a little bit chippy when asking when his second-year quarterback will return. Listen, I think you go with Nick Foles. If Nick Foles is playing well, you keep him in the game as well. If they start off 4-0 and he's throwing four touchdowns a game, how do you take him out? You just can't.
I've watched a little bit of the offseason, a little bit of the preseason, Ross. I know you can't read too much into the preseason, certainly not in American football, but who should we be looking out for? Dare I say, is it going to be a Minnesota Vikings? They look good on paper at the very least. Who will be, or who are you expecting in these early stages to shine?
In the American, in the AFC, it's going to be the usual suspects. I think it's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think it's going to be the New England Patriots. In the NFC, they have some real intriguing things that could come out of this. I really like the Los Angeles Rams this year. They have a great young head coach. They saw what they did last year. They signed their big defensive tackle, Aaron Donald, to a big contract extension. They have great wide receiver, great running back. So I look for them to come out of the NFC. I think they have some real talent out there in Los Angeles. Maybe some other sleeper teams that people aren't really talking about right now. How about the Arizona Cardinals? They've kind of went under the weather out there, out in the desert. I think they play quite well. And you can never count out Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers. He's one of the best players in his position. Doesn't matter who you put around him. He is a true gunslinger in his 14th season up there in Lambeau Field.
More to look forward to from Ross, from Chris, and the rest of the team right here on the grill. You're listening to us live here on Dubai 103.8, broadcasting live from Barasa.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.